I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
This is the 5 o'clock report, 20 minutes of uninterrupted news, commercial-free. I'm Jeff Kaplan, KSL's top story. A move to require that members of the clergy report sexual abuse. Right now, Utah has an exemption for clergy, but some state lawmakers are taking the first steps toward ending the exemption. KSL News Radio's Lindsay Ertz has the story.
Representative Phil Lyman says the exemption in Utah's law leaves room for subjectivity in protecting victims.
When the stakes are as high as they are in terms of abuse, we just don't need the ambiguity.
Lyman says the discussion to do this has been in place well before a recent AP article claiming there was a case of failed reporting of child abuse within the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Alternatively, if clergy are forced to report, this could deter abusers from confessing and allow abuse to continue.
I think the benefits of the clarity outweigh that scenario.
His bill also looks to create more accountability for the state agency where abuse is reported. Lindsay Ertz, KSL News Radio.
Top secret documents were found at Mar-a-Lago. Maria Chaleos is live at the KSL National News Desk.
Jeff, court records show FBI agents took 11 sets of classified records from President Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate during a search on Monday. The unsealed search warrant shows the Department of Justice is investigating the potential violation of at least three criminal statutes. ABC Washington correspondent Jonathan Carl has more.
One of those is the Espionage Act, but another one is obstruction of justice. And this document, the warrant, says that one of the things they were looking for, and this is a direct quote, any evidence of knowing alteration, destruction, or concealment of any government and or presidential records of any documents with classified markings.
ABC News Chief Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas says the Department of Justice felt they had no choice but to go in and get the documents.
They believe that there were documents that were classified, top secret, and of national security implications.
The court records do not provide specific details about the documents or their contents. Federal law enforcement is worried about copycat crimes after a man tried to break into an FBI office in Ohio yesterday. The man's social media posts indicate that he was angry over the search of President Trump's home. Former FBI agent and ABC News contributor Richard Frankel explains their concerns.
You're always worried about the copycat. One, because there are people who are like-minded and don't follow the rule of law. And then two, you have these people who actually become more violent and more active in their desire to cause violence.
The suspect in yesterday's incident was shot and killed after an hours-long standoff with police. Live from the KSL National News Desk, I'm Maria Chaleos, KSL News Radio.
Now, the man who broke into the FBI office in Cincinnati has been labeled a domestic violence extremist. KSL News Radio's Chris Jacobs explains that term.
The label is the more correct legal term used by the FBI and the law to categorize various domestic terrorism threats. According to the FBI, it means that the beliefs or ideas motivating the individual are not illegal themselves. However, breaking into an FBI fieldhouse is.
The FBI says that if you see anything suspicious, you should report it to law enforcement immediately. KSL News Time 503. For 10 years, he hid from Muslim extremists. This morning, award-winning author Salman Rushdie was stabbed as he began to speak on a New York stage.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul with an update on Salman Rushdie's condition.
He is alive. He has been transported, airlifted to safety.
The governor speaking just hours after the stabbing attack on the controversial author in Chautauqua, Western New York.
And I want to commend the state police. It was a state police officer who stood up and saved his life.
The stabbing was witnessed by an Associated Press reporter who said a man stormed the stage as Rushdie was speaking. Since the 1980s, many Muslims have opposed Rushdie, calling his book, The Satanic Verses, blasphemous. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
New York police identified the suspect as 24-year-old Hadi Matar, and they say they're looking for a motive. Grandma was arrested, daddy's on the lam, and a little boy is sort of caught in the crossfire. This is fallout from the South Salt Lake shooting in the Winco parking lot last May. 18-month-old Stephen Coleman Jr. left Utah with his parents in May, and while mom is back in Utah, the child is not. Authorities believe the 2-foot-tall boy is in Texas with his father, who's wanted in this Winco shooting. If you know anything about the child's whereabouts, call South Salt Lake Police. Authorities now have a suspect in custody in that hit-and-run crash that killed an 11-year-old boy. He died on a West Valley City sidewalk.
Police in West Valley have been on the hunt for a truck matching the description of this deadly crash. On Wednesday, a mom and her 11-year-old son were walking on the sidewalk near 4000 West and 4200 South. Police say a truck drove onto the sidewalk and hit the boy. He died from his injuries at the hospital. Police say a neighbor reported a truck last night that matched the description and had damage to its front. And police arrested 45-year-old Stephen Rollins for investigation of failing to remain at the scene of an accident involving death. Amy Kobabe, KSL News Radio.
KSL News Time 5:05.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.